Wow. What a day. Just rich teaching. Just wonderful time in the Word. I love the Word of God, and I love when people teach me the Word of God, and I have absolutely loved sitting at the feet of Carol and Kathy. Yes. Hearing from the Lord, and as we have been encouraged today to passionately pursue the Lord, and we started off with Carol talking about Mary choosing that better part, and I liked what she said about the word passive, and that passive is inactive, lifeless, unresponsive. And if I am unmoved by an outward action, I am passive. But if I am moved by an outward action, I'm passionate. And Mary sat, and she chose to sit, to listen and learn and to love Jesus. And then Kathy brought that message about forgetting those things that are behind. And she just said, refuse to look back. And I like that. That's very simple. And it's very strong. Just choose to refuse to look back and not to let the past affect who we are today. And then I really like that. Let's just file it all in the right place, the right files. And maybe some of us today need to go through our files and pull them out of the ones that they shouldn't be in and put them in the right ones. And then to remember the Lord's word and pursuing his word. I loved Carol's story about when they were in Romania, and I could just picture that as they're handing out the Bibles through the sunroof, and that the hunger, and the Lord just touched my heart, and you know, you just ask that question, is that how hungry I am for his word, that I would run and grab onto it? And she brought forth that the word, it revives us, it strengthens us, it brings comfort, and promises and hope, and that we're to desire it as strongly as that newborn babe desires the mother's milk. And then the last study, the seeking the Lord in prayer. I really like that with Jacob wrestling, and that the Lord wants us to hold on, and that we're not to stop before we get to the blessing. And I like the picture of her with her son and the boys, you know. Don't stop before you get the hug from the Lord, before you get his fullness, before you get the blessings. And I also liked that picture of the angels waiting in heaven for God to give the command to move. But God is waiting for our prayers so that he can then give the command. I really liked that. All these things in pursuing the Lord and choosing to sit at his feet and forgetting the things that are behind and remembering his word and seeking him in prayer. And why do we do all of that? It's a response. It is a response to his great love for us. It's a response to what he has done for us. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. And just think about it for a minute. Think about his love. As we were singing that song, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful," that song is 28, 30 years old. I don't know. It's a very old song, and it still touches our hearts today because he is beautiful, and you think about his love when you're singing that song. But think of what the Lord has done for you. Jesus spoke in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And then John wrote, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Who has done anything greater for you? You know, you can think back on all the gifts you've received, the relationships that are wonderful in your lives that you have. No one, no one has done anything greater than the Lord Jesus and the Father to us. The love that was given, that gives. You think about the Father's love. Think about Him as your Father. Think about Him as God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, this almighty, powerful God. For God so loved the world. He loved the world. He loved sinful man. He loved you. He loved me when we rejected Him, when we walked in our way, when we may have shook our fist at Him, when we may have blasphemed Him. He loves. That's the heart of the Father, that He loves. And He loved so much that He gave His Son, His only Son, whom He loves. And He was willing to sacrifice His Son, to have that relationship of the Father and the Son be different for that time when Jesus came to earth. You think about the sacrifice. When Jesus went to the cross, the Father's heart, that He would be willing to do that. And then you think about the love of the Son, God the Son, Jesus. Think about His great love for you. That He, God the Son, being in the form of God, not thinking it robbery to be equal with God, He made Himself of no reputation. He humbled Himself to come to this earth. And He made Himself obedient even to the death on the cross. And He walked this earth in a human body, in human form, going through everything physically that we go through, being rejected, being misunderstood, being despised, being blasphemed, being beaten, being spit upon, being nailed to that cross because of His great love for us. There is nothing greater. No one has done anything greater for us. No one loves the way God loves. No one loves the way the Lord Jesus loves. You have been chosen. I don't know how many people would choose you. I don't know how many people would choose me. But we have been chosen by the Father. We've been chosen to be His. You have been forgiven. That is a huge thing. All those sins, forgiven, forgiven. He remembers them no more. You have been accepted. How many people would accept you? I mean, we always have a problem with that. When we meet new people or we go places, are we going to be accepted? Are they going to like us for who we are? Or do we have to pretend to be something else for a while to just kind of ease them into who we really are? Because they may not like us, you know? We are accepted. He knows us inside and out. Our thoughts from afar off. Those thoughts that shock you when they come into your mind. They didn't shock Him. He knows them and He loves anyway. You've been accepted. You have been given eternal life. He's saved us and given us that hope, that future, eternal life with Him. And while we're waiting, we've been given abundant life, joy-filled life, a rich, full life. We have been provided for. And I just like that word provide, because I like to be provided for. I like to be taken care of. And God has provided for us. He cares for us. Every single day, He cares for us. We have been given security. And so many of us are so, well, I don't know anybody who isn't insecure. We're all insecure in some way. But we are secure in His love. Our future is secure. I mean, that's just, how can we not respond to that? We have been strengthened because of the power of His Spirit. We've been empowered because of the power of His Spirit. We have been renewed. The old things are passed away. Everything is made new. We are renewed day by day, the renewing of our mind through the Word, the power of the Spirit. And you have been gifted also. He has gifted you to use you in His body and in this world. And your life has been blessed because of His great love, because what He has done. And that's just a short list. How can we not respond to that? How can we not then turn and passionately pursue the one who has done such great things for us? One evening, Jesus was dining in a Pharisee's home. And like always, there was a crowd of people around. And as he was in the Pharisee's home, a woman came in. And she was a sinful woman. Everyone knew this woman was a sinner. She came into the house and she stood at Jesus' feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Well, the Pharisee was very offended by that because he thought, well, if Jesus is a prophet, he would know who this woman was. And he wouldn't allow her to do that. But Jesus said to him in Luke 7, verse 40, and Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, Teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, You have rightly judged. And then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. This woman, a notable sinner, came into the house knowing who Jesus was. She anointed his feet. She washed them with her tears, dried them with her hair, knowing who she was, a sinner. And it implies that she was a harlot. What kind of a life? Can you imagine a life like that? Isolated. Everybody's whispering and pointing fingers. Nobody wants to get near you, only certain people. Just alone, ashamed, trapped. She can't get out of it. How can you, I mean, in this day and age, people, they have, you know, programs and things like that for people to recover out of these different kind of lifestyles. Back then, that's it, you're sunk. You can't get out of it. This is her life. She's trapped till she met Jesus. And she went in and he cleansed her. And he forgave her, and he told her, don't sin anymore. What was her response? Grateful love, a passionate love, a pursuing of him all the days of her life. We've got to believe that she followed him to his death, to her death. How can she not respond? When here's a man who reaches out and touches her and forgives her and cleanses her and accepts her and loves her, she's going to respond like that. Another woman, Mary Magdalene, she had been delivered of 7 demons. Now, can you imagine that kind of a life? That's kind of hard for us to imagine, but we know from Scripture that portion, when it talks about the demoniac who had 12 legions of demons within him, they would chain him. Nothing could keep him bound. He was just a maniac, crazy. Here's Mary Magdalene. demon-possessed by 7 demons. What was her life like? Totally isolated. Very, very lonely. Depressed. She literally has a split personality. She is possessed. Maybe she has moments of being herself, but then the demons take over. You're just plain crazy. You're insane. What kind of a life is that? Until she met Jesus, and he delivered her. He delivered her from self-destruction, and he delivered her from insanity. And what was her response? She followed Jesus, it tells us in the next chapter in Luke, and along with other women, and she provided for him with her substance. She was devoted to him. She was grateful. She passionately pursued the Lord because of the great things that he has done. And you just think about in your own life and the great things the Lord has done for you. Maybe you can identify with one of those women or a million other stories like that. How he has saved us. I think of Mary Magdalene and the demon possession and the what it would do to your mind. And I believe for myself that if I had not met Jesus, I would probably be insane today. I would have self-destructed with my own thoughts, with my own mind, with just, it would just been a downward spiral. And he has delivered me and saved me from myself, from my own insanity. So I passionately pursue him. I am forever grateful to the one who saved me from myself. I never even thought about hell. I just thought, get me away from me. How can you get away from you? You can't. You go with you everywhere you go. There you are. But he has come in and delivered. And how can I not respond to that? So think about, just think about for a moment the great things that he has done for you personally. Your own past, your own struggles, your own whoever you once were. But while you're thinking about it, take those files if they're in the wrong place and put them in the right place. Hebrews 12:2. Kathy read it earlier. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That looking unto Jesus, or considering Jesus, or passionately pursuing him now in this session by what must be considered. Jesus, looking unto Jesus. And that those words imply to look away from one thing so as to see another. And Hebrews 12:1, it tells us to lay aside all the sin and the weights that so easily beset us and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. So it implies to look away from those things that would so easily beset us, that would wrap themselves around us. And as we began this day, we mentioned there is a world out there pursuing us, calling our name, wanting our time. I love that what Carol wrote that I read about the enemy and his plan to distract, to keep us busy. And all these things that would wrap themselves around us in to follow, in order to overtake, to capture, to kill. And we're to look away from those things. Don't give them your time. Don't give it your attention. And turn and consider Jesus, because he is the greater one who pursues you. He has been called the hound of heaven. He woos us to himself. When all these other things are striving to gain our attention and our time and our energy and to suck us dry, the greater one comes in and he pursues us and he calls our name. But he has a still small voice, and we have to listen. The other things are really loud and can get our attention quickly. And he speaks in a still, small voice, and by his Holy Spirit, he just says, come, and he calls us, and he draws us to himself. Remember that he is the one who died for you. He is the one who has forgiven you. He is the one who has the words of eternal life. He is pursuing you to overtake you, but to overtake you with his love. Not for evil, but for good. The other things want to destroy. He comes in, pursues us to overtake us by his love, to capture us and to make us his. I don't want to be captured by anything else. I want to be captured by him. And then it isn't to kill, but it is to give life. All those other things will destroy us eventually, but he gives life. Looking unto Jesus, considering Jesus, and that word, it means to consider attentively, to concentrate the gaze upon, to look carefully, to think carefully or seriously. We're not to just glance at Jesus each day. We're to study him. We're to gaze upon him. We're to fix, to glue, to cement our eyes upon him so that we would see nothing else. Now, some people have an amazing ability to be really focused and not be distracted by things. I have to sit in the front row at church because I am so easily distracted by anything. I mean, if you just went like this with your hair, I'd be gone for 2 minutes, you know. So I don't have that ability to just focus like that. I do remember when our girls were small, and our youngest daughter, Morgan, if she was watching a movie on TV, she was glued. And I could, the sliding glass door was here, and the TV was here, and she would sit here, and I could walk back and forth, in and out, and she had no idea that I walked in front of her. That's how focused she was. And that's how focused we need to be on the Lord. Consider Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. So when all of these other things come in to pursue us, we don't even see them anymore. We're so glued to the Lord, the one who has done these great things for us. We don't even see. We don't even see all those things that are trying to pull us away. When I remember him, when I stay at the foot of the cross, and I remember the great things that he has done for me, it is just an automatic response to then pursue him, to seek after him. But I must remember, I must stay at the foot of the cross every day, all day. Not just at my morning devotional time, not just on Sundays when I go to church, not just when I turn on the radio and I hear a Bible study. It's all day. It is a daily life that we are to stay there to pursue him. The Apostle Paul was another one who passionately pursued the Lord and who was forgiven much and loved much. And he stayed at the foot of the cross. He remembered who he was, but he didn't dwell on that. He had them all in the right files. And his testimony, he said, "For to me to live is Christ." Is that our testimony today? Is that our declaration that we can stand up here or we can go out there and say, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain"? The reason I live is Christ. It is not the other things that are pursuing me, not the other things that want my time and my attention. And they all might be just fine and dandy things. But for me to live is Christ. He said, "For in him we live and move and have our being." And then in Philippians 3, that Kathy taught on. Paul said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He uses that word press on. I press toward, and that word means to pursue. It means to act on with steady force or weight, to be insistent about, speeding on earnestly, intense endeavor, like the Greeks used it to describe a hunter who is eagerly pursuing his prey. That's how intense the Apostle Paul was in pursuing the Lord. That's how intense Mary Magdalene was. That's how intense that sinful woman was. That's how intense all of these great men and women in this word passionately pursued the Lord. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Until my dying breath. And is that you today? Just to say, you know what? You can have the world. You can have all that stuff. You can have my past. You can have all the passing pleasures of sin. I don't want it. I don't want it. And I really believe the Lord has called us here today to settle it and just to leave it at the foot of the cross and not to pick it back up when we leave and say, well, that was a nice day, but to really and truly and once and for all settle it. And if we've been pursuing any other person or any other thing, that today would be the day that we would just leave it. It's not worth it. What have they or it or whatever it might be, what have they done for you? What great thing has it done? Nothing in comparison to the one who has given you life, the one who loves, and the one who pursues you. Mary, can you come up? We're just going to have a time of worship, and I want just to quiet our hearts. And all of these things that we've learned today, all of these things that the Lord has spoken to you, that maybe you've jotted down, I want to give us time before we get in our cars and we go home. I want to give us time to talk to the Lord about it, to put him at the foot of the cross, to leave it there, to settle it once and for all. So let's just do that as Mary leads us in this song. And if